Well, thank you, Sister Clark. When we don't understand, bow the knee, amen. What a good message and song. What a truth. Only heaven will probably reveal what a privilege prayer was, and we'll all regret how little we practiced it, probably. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the New Testament. We'll go into the book of Ephesians for just a short few verses this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. So if you get over there to the Corinthians, go to your right and get Galatians and then get Ephesians chapter 5. You'll find two words in the text I'll read this morning. One of them is awake and the other one is time. So I want to preach a little bit on this thought a little bit this morning. Awake to the time. Awake to the time. Ephesians chapter 5, pick it up with me in verse 14. Wherefore, now when we see that word in the text, we know he's referring to what's gone before up here. And what's gone before has been instruction about how to live the Christian life, how to walk for the Lord and how not to do those things that the heathen and the pagans and even we did before we were saved that brought the wrath of God. And we're to walk as children of the light. He tells us all that. And then he says, wherefore, because of that, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now the message here, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, we understand that Paul wrote letters to the churches. When you get over into Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you find where the Lord Jesus, through the Apostle John, wrote to the seven churches, and one of them was Ephesus. Now we have Paul saying to them here, live right, walk right, and be awake, as it were, to the time, because the times are evil. In Revelation chapter 2, you find a letter here to the church at Ephesus where the Lord commends them for almost everything, but rebukes them for leaving their first love. Did they go to sleep again? Did they get cold? Maybe so, maybe so. But Paul is saying here, awake. He's saying the days are evil. He's telling them to redeem the time. Now, buy it back. Don't waste it, is what he's saying. You know, time governs our life. You go to catch the airplane, you better be on time. I have agreement with them that if I'm not there, they can leave. And they always do. But I'm saying to you, time, we measure time. We watch our clocks. We watch our watch. We try to. Time is important to us. You might punch a clock on a job. And I had a guy say something to me one time when I was only about 16 years old, working in a auto body shop. And he'd worked there for years. And I don't know, we was talking, and somehow or another, he was probably a lost man. I was a lost boy. But he said, you know, all we poor fellows have to sell is our time. And I didn't like that thought. It didn't go well with me. But you know, the truth is we're going to pass a certain amount of time away. And what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Are we going to do right? It's going to govern our life. Somebody said time passes and that time waits for no man. I guess we'd agree to that. But in the context here, it is talking awake, walk right, be wise, know and do God's will. Now, we hear this statement too. You hear the statement, time will tell? It will. You know what that means? It means the results of what we invest our time in will show up and reveal what we did with it. I mean, the results will be revealed. The truth will come out. We all know the story of the country boy that was told to go plant the seed in the field. But it was Saturday afternoon, and he wanted to go to town. So when Daddy left, instead of going out and planting and scattering the seed like he's supposed to, he just dumped the whole bag in the corner of the field. You know the story, don't you? Guess what? When it all come up, the story was out, and business picked up. The truth of the matter is sometimes we wait a while thinking we've gotten by with something, but the crop always comes up. It always shows up. I'd apply that to the condition of our America, our country today. What we're doing today is we're reaping the evil of seed that was sown. In the wrong place, in the wrong way, in the wrong kind of seed. We've seen our Bible removed from our schools, God's name being blasphemed if used at all, and we're wondering what's wrong. We've had a crop of morals, or lack of morals, immorality come up because we've gotten rid of God and His Word in front of our young folks. And we're reaping for that across our country. We've lost honesty and ethics. I remember back in the early 70s when there was actually some courses being taught in some of our school systems across America called situation ethics. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means the situation determined what you did, and that's a lie. Right and wrong does not depend on the situation. And I'll give you an example. One of the things they taught, and I actually picked up some of the curriculum and preached against it back in those days, but some of that curriculum taught something like this. It would teach the kids, it would say, now, which would you rather do? And I had a kid bring a book to me and say, preacher, here's the question. Which would you rather do, desecrate the flag, spit on it, burn it, or eat a mouthful of human flesh? Now, you understand what they want you to do? That situation ethics was saying, as bad as tasting human flesh would be, therefore I'll desecrate the flag. And they said, what's the answer to this? I said, go back and you tell your teacher you won't do either one, and she better not mark it wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's a trick. I mean, they taught this illustration. A bunch of Eskimos are in the boat, and they're out in the water, and the boat's about to sink because they got too many in there, and Grandma is in there with them, and so they decide that Grandma's got less time to live than they have, so they shove Grandma overboard. That was situation ethics back in the late 60s and 70s. Now we're reaping that crop. Now what we've got is that kind of lack of morals and lack of honesty and lack of ethics coming up. And evil, folks, is hard to dethrone. Now, some of us are rejoicing a little bit. Maybe there's a turn because of the election, and I hope so. I hope so. But I want to tell you something. Evil is not giving up easy. They're not going to give up easy. You see, it was more than politics here in the last few years. It's a movement to bring down America, is what it is. And when we talk about the transgenders using our little girls' restrooms, when we talk about all this bad stuff that we're seeing homosexuality exalted everywhere, and looking around and seeing these bad things happen, that's a crop coming up because we left God and His Word out of things. And they got a plan. And they're not giving up easy. Now, I'm going to say something, and some of you get mad. The same door let you in, let you out. But I'm just going to say something to you. It's more than politics. It is a destruction of the morals of early America that's going on. That, for that reason, and I said it right here, I said, I believe it'll be very hard for me to see President Obama turning over the keys to Donald Trump to the Oval Office. So what you're hearing in the news as of last night, when I got home from the airport last night, they say they have put up several $1 million, the Green Party. You know what the Green Party is? That's the tree-hugging nuts. You know who I'm talking about, the Green Party. Anyway, the Green Party has put up several $1 million for Hillary now to challenge and have a recount. Now, something's foolish there because the Electoral College amount is so much higher they could never overcome it. But what they can do is throw things into chaos and keep the Electoral College from casting a vote. And what you would have then, you'd just about have civil war in this country. I know I'm on the radio, help yourself. There's a knob out there, you can turn me off if you're fool enough to. If they throw it into chaos, then the sitting president can also declare martial law. And that would sure be a mess. And it could happen. You say, I went down there and Pastor Carter started prophesying. A few things I've said before happened too. I know what this scripture I just read, redeem the time because the days are evil. And that's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at. The life of this country, when it comes back to morals, when it comes back to quit killing the babies, when it comes back to saying that homosexuality is what God said about it, and he said it's an abomination. That's what God said about it. Now, if we're going to awake to the times, we need to bring it on down a little closer too. Let's awake personally. Let's awake to our own lifestyle. Do you understand your lifestyle like some corn seed is something you plant? You're going to reap for it later, good or bad. Oh, yeah. I mean, when we're asking folks to do right by God, we're asking them to take God's armor on themselves as described in the Word of God. That's not for God's protection, it's for yours. From the evil lies of the devil that's going to be shot at you. When you make a choice to live the Hollywood lifestyle, when you make a choice to live a corrupt lifestyle, I want to tell you something. You're opening yourself up to the devil, and God gave you protection, but you don't want that protection.
That's right. Come on.
We look around today and see in our Christian schools, I'm glad we still have them. They're not what they used to be. But there's worse out there. A preacher friend of mine, some of you know, Brother Roy Thompson, Dr. Roy Thompson, he's been in heaven a long time, pastored up in Cleveland, Ohio. When we started the Christian school movement here in Florida, it got to going pretty big. And you know what he said? He said, no, let's don't do Christian schools. He said, let's take our Christian kids and let's send them into the public school to be witnesses. Sound good for a little while. Then he made this statement, probably from my pulpit right here. Roy said, I sent my canaries to the public school to teach the sparrows how to sing like a canary. He said, to my great disappointment, my kids came back tweeting like sparrows. He said, it ruined my canaries. So he started a Christian school. Now, you know what I'm saying to you? You don't take a well person into a sick room to make the sick well. You take the sick person in the room, that will catch on the well person you send in every time. Every time. So what I'm saying to you today, well, we better wake up to the times. There's something bigger going on than you think, even in the country. Now, we've done a lot of praying before the election. I think we need to keep on praying, and we need to keep on asking God to do something, because evil days are planned. The devil hasn't quit. He hasn't given up. And this thing we call multiculturalism sounds good too, but it's not good. We've watered down old-fashioned Christianity to the place that is hardly recognizable in our country right now. And you've got nice words like, let's all be inclusive. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, depart from evil. You know what the Bible says? You're not going to like this, but I can prove it to you. The Bible says that a Christian, a believer, God's people ought to hate. I told you you wouldn't like that. The Bible says we're to hate the evil and love the good, just like so. What God says is evil. It's not for me and you to judge it. God's already judged it. That's what he calls it. And this multiculturalism inclusive stuff. The other night, I didn't get to see much TV. I've been up there with the grandkids and didn't watch the news much. They don't care that much for the news. But I sneaked a little in. But anyway, the elect vice president went to see a play the other night, New York or wherever it was. And when the play was over, the actors gathered up on the stage, and they knew he was there, and they spoke at him. They said quite several words to him. And one of the things they said is, we don't trust you. We're afraid you will not protect us. And I got to thinking, by the way, that was rude of them, as it could be. But I got to thinking, what is it they want protection from? You know what they want protection from? this. God's word, God's ways, God's plan. That's what they want protection for. So if I'm going to go out here and live perverted compared to the word of God, you got to protect me and let me do it. Well, you go ahead and do it. I can't protect you from God's judgment. So they're all mixed up on that. Wanting protection. I mean, what a terrible thing it would be to follow God's plan and have a blessed life. Good health that come from not drinking and doping. Wouldn't that be terrible to be protected from that? Wouldn't it be terrible to be protected from venereal disease? Wouldn't it be just, or from AIDS, huh? That would be a terrible thing. So protect us so we can go ahead and indulge in all this stuff. Yeah, your judgment's built into that stuff. That self-destruction is what comes from that. But in our lifestyle, what we plant, we're going to reap. It's going to come up. Now, time will tell if we're really the servant of God. In the last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And in chapter 3 in the book of Malachi, there's a verse. I'm going to read it to you. Don't take time to turn. Verse 18 of chapter 3 of Malachi. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves if God and him that serveth him not. Now, the book of Malachi is a judgment on Israel, how backslidden, how cold. That book of Malachi accuses those Jews of not even wanting to shut the door in the house of God unless they get paid for it. It accuses them of stealing the tithe from God. It's a great accusation. That's the way Israel was winding up, and God seems to go silent between Malachi and Matthew. Now, he still had the written word, but God doesn't give him a prophet. He doesn't give them a vision. He, as it were, wipes his hand and says, okay, you planted the seed, the crop's coming up, and time's going to reveal it. And by the time you get to Jesus being born, what we'll be soon celebrating as Christmas time, Israel was in a fix. They should have been looking for the Messiah, but they were not looking for the Messiah. They were so backslid. All their religion had grown. It had grown a bunch of rules. The Pharisees had all kind of stuff, but it was so bad they couldn't even recognize their own Messiah when he showed up. I'm saying to you, time tells if we're really serving God or not. God says he discerns that. You know what the lost world says about us as churches and Christians? Bunch of hypocrites down there. Let me tell you a sad truth. They're about half right. In many cases. Many cases, yeah. You know what a hypocrite is? He's one that says or professes something, but he does something different. He's a faker. That's what he is. That's what a hypocrite is. And truth is, they say I'm doing it, but they don't do it. Now, there's many ways to serve God. And by the way, somebody says, well, what do I do to serve God? Do what you've already known to do and won't do. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't have much longer here, and I might as well just unload the whole wagon. Come on. I'm playing with you a little bit, but I'm saying to you, there's a lot of things we do. You know what serving God takes? It takes time. Yeah, it might even take talent, but if you don't have it, God will settle for your time. You'll also give him the tithe, and yeah, you can even give extra to missions. You're serving God when you do that. You can pray for the prayer list. Here at Thanksgiving, we took some Thanksgiving baskets around. There's a lot of things we can do if we want to that are real and that are genuine. And there's many ways to serve God. The best ways are always through his church. Jesus started the church. He didn't start General Motors. He didn't start Walmart. He started the church. And under the umbrella of the church, there's a lot more you can do. Now, you know, you can do some things by yourself, and that's wonderful if you do. But there's a lot of ways to get involved as the people of God come together. And what one could not do by themselves, many can do. And that's what the church is about. And we can serve the Lord. We can serve the Lord through his church. And I want to say this to some of you. I'm trying to make somebody mad this morning. I'm going to be a failure, I fear, if I don't do it. But anyway, here's what I'm saying to you. Some of you need to get more information from the church than you do from the from the web, from the online stuff. I have some people come to me sometime with some kind of stupid heresy. They didn't get it from the Word of God. They didn't get it from the church. They got it off of some smart aleck on the line that don't know peanuts. You could put his brain in a mosquito, he'd fly backwards, and yet, because he's on the line, they think it's true. It's just another source for a liar to get the lie out. That's all it is. Be careful about that. I know there's some good stuff on there. There's some good food possibly thrown in the garbage can, but I sure get garbage all over me looking for it. And that's what some of you are doing. You're getting garbage on off that line. You really are. I'll get off that because I could wax on that. But you know, time will tell if we really are servants of God. Time tells of our love. Somebody said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. How do you spell love for your kids? Time. T-I-M-I-E. How do you spell love for your wife? T-I-M-E. That's it. Well, I don't know if some of you get me. Time's important. I think about the boyfriend that kept writing his girl letters. Love letters. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come see you. But he never did. He kept writing her letters. Finally, one day he went and found out she'd married the postman because the postman kept delivering the letters. She saw him, amen. God liked to see some of us once in a while and not just hear something from us at a distance. Amen. Time tells if we're really servants of God. Time will tell on the promises of God himself. You know, I could have long-range testimonies, and God's promises come through, but some folks want it instant right now. God says, prove your faith by waiting on me. Waiting on me. You asked for it. Well, God, I asked God yesterday, and he didn't give it to me today. Uh-huh. God says, prove your faith by waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, the scripture says. And God's promises, some of them will be long range fulfilled. You know what the Bible says? It says God honors them that honor him. That's a pretty simple statement, but boy, how powerful it is. God honors them that honor him. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be a born again, saved believer, living for God, and still get cancer. We're all subject to the temptations and the sicknesses in all of this world. Understand that. It rains on the just and the unjust alike, the scripture says. Understand that. But I'll tell you this as a rule. It goes better with them that go with God. It goes better with them. Them that honor God, God does honor. I could give testimony to that. I'm getting to be an old guy now. You can't tell it. I know I look so young, but I'm getting to be an old guy. Now, I'm joking around with you. You know, a lot of my graduation class, they're already gone. I hope most of them to heaven. But I can't hardly believe how much time's passed since I walked across the platform and finally got that piece of paper. Didn't mean near as much as I thought it did, but anyway, I got it. It's been a long time. Time's moved on. You know what, though, in this building right now among God's people, if we had time, we could get testimonies all over this building how God's promises have come through to them. Amen. How we could praise God for answered prayers. Amen. How we could praise God when he supplied the need when it couldn't have come no other way. When somebody got well, we prayed for it, was supposed to die. Maybe a little, I mean, we could just give story after story and testimony after testimony for the Lord. Sure, we could do that. And time is going to prove out every promise God ever made. The poet said, God has never broken a promise spoken. And man, that is the truth. You know, he supplied the need. He's answered prayer. The scripture says, he that would lose his life shall find it. Now, that's not double talk. Jesus is saying, lose your life for me. Lose your old worldly life. Turn on your old selfishness. Turn on your old covetousness and lose that stuff. You'll find it in me. That's what he's saying. Lose your life, so find it. I've read, and I'm not much on the other languages. I have enough trouble with English. But in Hebrew, which the Old Testament basically written, and the book of Hebrews and New Testament written in Hebrews and so forth. But in Hebrew, there's a little truth in the language. Here in English, I'll say, I have this, I have a car, I have a house, I have some clothes, I have this, I have that. But the truth is, I don't have anything. Don't have anything. In the Hebrew, you can't say, I have this, because it teaches you that you never have it. You can only use it. You can't have it. You're going to leave it. Somebody said the only thing you'll have in heaven is not what you lay up, but what you sent on ahead. A lot of truth to that. And what the Hebrew is telling us is we're pilgrims. We're passing through. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and he let them go 40 years in the wilderness, what did they live in? They lived in tents. And they have a celebration of those booths and tents. You know what God was saying? He was saying, you're not permanent here. You know why the Bible calls our bodies tabernacles? Temporary. Temporary. Just going to be here a while, and I'm going to lay this old house down. They're going to go over and bury it, but it won't be me. I'll be gone. Amen. I like that. This old tent is going to fold one day. Going to wear it out. Not going to be much left. But it's teaching. The Jews in the wilderness were taught, you don't own nothing. God's supplying your need. You look to him. You're going to leave it all behind. But you know there's a pile of people who can't get a hold of that. Somebody said, he that dies with the most toys wins. What a joke. You're going to leave all your toys behind you. Whatever they might be. And the truth is, the promise of God is that we'll lose our life for him, we'll gain it. And so many other promises like that. You know, time will tell on the promises of God. Time will also tell on the decision you made for or against Jesus Christ. One day there will be a judgment we'll stand before. Even the saved people will go to the judgment seat of Christ and find out how they lived their life after they got saved, whether they served God or served him not, whether they have reward or lose reward. But for the man that's made a decision against Jesus to appear before the judgment of God, what an awful, awful thing to think about. Book of Revelation says there's come a time that there will be time no longer. We measure it down here. We sell it down here. We do a lot of things because of time down here, but time no longer is spoken of no more in heaven. Do you know what is of great terror to man? Is to find out the worst news he can find out, and that is that there is no more chance. See, down here, we all get comfort out of saying, I'll do that tomorrow. And we put it off till tomorrow. Sometimes the tomorrow never comes, but man is a procrastinator. He loves to put it off. And, well, I failed this time, but next time I win. I missed it this time. Next time I'll catch it. And there's always that hope of another time, another opportunity, another chance. But the terror of eternity is going to be when there is no more chance. Jesus spoke of that. He spoke of how awful it was going to be to go to that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If Jesus talked about how awful hell is, who am I to try to extinguish it? Who am I to get me another version of the Bible that waters it down? Huh? If Jesus, the Son of God that left God's glory and came down here and took my part and died in my place and became sin for me and suffered for me, he did that awful thing because the place I was going to without him was an awful place. That's right. Awful place called hell. with fire in it. Oh yeah, to think about this. To think about a man waking up in hell. Oh yes, the fire. Oh yes, the torment. But I can believe there's a greater torment. And that's when he realizes I'm doomed forever. No tomorrow. No second chance. No way out. Folks, can you just grasp that a little bit? A little bit? That's why the Son of God bled and died on the cross, because it's an awful thing to die lost. And time will reveal the promises of God. Listen, there's the good promises that we rejoice about. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, I want to go there, but how about when you read that God is angry with the wicked every day? When you read verses like, Jesus said it'd be better to lose an eye or hand in this life and live maimed than to spend eternity in hell. Man, I'm talking about time will cause all of God's promises to be realized. The good that we call good and the bad that we would call bad. All of them will be kept. All of them will be kept. You know, think about being sentenced forever. Say, well, go mark the calendar. I'll get out of jail next month. Not in hell. Well, my sentence is about up. Not in hell. Say, preacher, I come in this church this morning. You had a nice building. It's a little bit cool in here, and you're preaching about hell. Because I'm preaching the Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Right. Telling you what God says. Amen. Let me say this. The good news is right now. It's not later. The good news is you can be saved now, and God never tells you to be saved later. Never promises you to be saved down the road. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Right now. It goes on to say, now is the accepted time. God never promises tomorrow, future, for salvation. He promises it now. It's a now thing. Choice made now. You may get by today with saying no to Jesus again like you have in the past. You may, and then you may not. I just got back from visiting grandkids up in West Virginia. And a fairly young man, young people listen to this, fairly young man went out on those hills riding his four-wheeler, a common thing. They're all over the place up there, about the only way you can get over some of them hills. Young man, healthy young man. He left that morning feeling good. He left that morning thinking everything was fine. But he got out there and got out in the woods and where a lot of folks didn't know where he was, and he had a wreck. He broke some limbs. Under ordinary situation, if an ambulance would have picked him up and taken him to the hospital, he would have lived. But he lay there in the woods, nobody finding him, and the coldest night of the year came, and he froze to death. Literally froze to death and was dead the next morning. He didn't plan that. He didn't get up and say, I think I'll go die today. No, he didn't. But it happened. He said, well, that was just him. Who's next? I'm saying to you, now is the time to be right with God. Now is the time to accept Jesus. Now is the time to trust him as Savior. You got no guarantee of tomorrow. Bible says there's no promise of tomorrow, that we don't know what another day will bring forth. And I'm saying to you, make use of the time God's given you now. Now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If you've not saved today, listen, some of us in this room know a lot about what a mess this world's in. There's no hope in this world. It may get better a little while, it may get worse. But with Jesus, that's where the hope's at. He's the one that gives hope. I don't care how young or old you are in this room this morning, if you haven't trusted him as Savior, the scripture says now's the time. Now's the time. Will you let it be your time this morning? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Dear God, I'm so thankful. Back in my past, there was a time I heard the good news that Jesus loved me and died for me. I thank you for that time I stepped out to receive him as Savior. I thank you from that time to this, I can testify your promises are real and true. I can testify how good you've been. Dear God, I pray somebody here would make that same decision I made and make it right now, today, knowing they have no promise of tomorrow, no guarantee. And Father, I pray that that time would never come where they'd realize there's no hope, no chance forevermore. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Somebody may need to come to move a membership or something else, but Lord, especially we pray for that soul that needs Jesus this morning, that they would come, and now would be their time. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Brother Hector's going to lead us in an invitation song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come trust Jesus, you meet me right